there is a cliche. It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Is that a cliche, or those are words to live by?
It might be words to live by, but that was...
I mean, you just encapsulated my entire academic career, all 16 years of it.
Yeah, I mean, we all have our own, we all run our own race.
Okay.
And the Carolina Hurricanes, for two periods, looked like a team that was lucky to be down 1-0. Not to channel...
Well, lucky to have Antti Raanta, anyway.
Not to channel my... I've watched way too many ACC basketball broadcasts, but that was classic, you know, because this happens in ACC basketball all the time. The first half happens, you're thinking, man, this team is getting boat raced. And then you look up at the score, and your thought is, man,
you know,
it's...
They're 1-for-13 from three, and they're only down...
And they're only down 8 at the half. That's not bad, considering. Well, that was the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers last night. The Rangers essentially stifled the Carolina Hurricanes. Did the Rangers make life difficult for the Canes for two periods last night? Yes. But the Carolina Hurricanes also made life difficult for the Carolina Hurricanes. And it was all a recipe for a 1-0 deficit going into the third period. But the third period was what you would expect out of the Carolina Hurricanes. And frankly, it's the kind of play and response you expect out of a team that gets it. They've gotten it all year. I'm not so much focused on the fact that they didn't have it for two periods. I'd be more focused on the fact that they knew what was wrong. They got to it. It paid off with a goal with about 3 minutes to go. And then the depth showed itself up again. In Game 7, it's Max Domi scoring two goals and being the hero, and a guy's got to get a back tattoo because of it. And in the overtime, it's Ian freaking Cole. Ian Cole. That's the guy. But that's been the Canes all season, man.
Huge. Let's use all capital letters. Sebastian Aho saved the Canes. Antti Raanta, the reason they won the game, but Sebastian Aho with the goal to send that thing into overtime, made a play when he had to make a play.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about the previous series, the Boston, and you know, there's Bergeron, there's the perfection line, and there might be this pressure to try to match the perfection line. That's not the case for the Hurricanes. They're built on depth. But, you still have great players. Sebastian Aho is one of them. He was great in game two of the first round. He wasn't great all night last night, but you know what? He was there and made a play when he had to make a play. And it was a highly skilled play, and it was the kind of play that gave them a shot of confidence. At the end of regulation there, they come out. They dominated in the third period, too. Mm-hmm. We should point that out. As good as the Rangers were for the first 38 minutes of that game, because I felt like there was a late shift with the Svechnikov line, and you're going, uh-oh, it's coming. It's coming. Here they come.
Sure.
And then third period starts, and the Canes were dominant in third period, flat out. They just, you know, Igor Shesterkin is an excellent goalie. The Rangers are an excellent defensive team. The Rangers were not giving the Canes anything in the middle of the ice.
And the Canes, didn't look like they were going to get a break, because I think it was it Svechnikov who had just rifled one at the net?
It was Niederreiter.
It was Niederreiter.
Yeah.
It was Niederreiter.
Or crossbar.
Miller might have been right. Our Kids Bop Canes correspondent, we asked him, what's the key of the game? He said Niederreiter is going to score a goal. I thought he did. I really thought he did. And at that point, I just like all caps tweeted out, how? Like, I legitimately thought that went in. I didn't think the Canes were going to have the breaks go their way, and it worked out.
You can get caught up, though, in, oh, my gosh, Bergeron had a five-point game, or Marchand had two goals and 17 assists. And it's like, it's not necessarily in the playoffs the quantity. It's the quality. And Sebastian Aho last night made the play when the Canes had to have a play, and that's what you expect out of your top guy.
Here's Rod Brindamore, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, on how New York played the first two periods and stifled them.
Well, you give them a lot of credit. They play a really good game for two periods. They were the better team, no question. You know, especially the first period. First period, we were just not there. And, you know, Raanta made a couple of real big saves.
Then Rod was asked about the third period coming out of that room and playing their game once again.
Not the change. I think it's just the way the attitude, the way we played that period. I mean, when you're down, you have to up your game. And, you know, that's kind of what happened. You know, kudos to our guys. I mean, they got it going. I mean, it certainly was a good third period. And we obviously, we're not going to get away with that, not playing two periods, expect to win a game, especially this time of year against that team.
And they knew that.
But real quick, that's vintage Rod Brindamore right there.
Yeah.
He makes a change at the end of the second period to put the Finns back together, to put Teravainen and Aho back together.
Which is what fans have been screaming about for a while. But
sure.
Yeah, he does.
But that is one of those moves where you're like, in case of emergency, break glass.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. Did he want to take any credit for it? No.
Mm-hmm.
That's classic Rod.
It's classic Rod. It's the OG. Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Oviatt. We were posted up at the East entrance, or as Giglio likes to call it, the OG entrance, with microphone in hand. A little side talk NC, if you will. Looking for people in the reaction. Rand, I believe, let's go with the not the Stormbrew clip, but the other clip, the longer clip I sent you. Yes, I think it's good. Yeah, I went through it. I don't think, actually, I think fans were actually good this time and did not curse.
I was going to say, in the interim, do you want to explain the Stormbrews?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So here's some interaction.
What happened?
We stayed focused. We didn't get into the penalty box. We locked in. We didn't engage in Rangers fans. We played Carolina Hurricanes hockey.
How did all the Rangers fans get in here? I thought it was geofenced.
Well, as we established last week, all the Boston fans live in Apex. All the Rangers fans live in Wake Forest. We are a city that has multiple bedrooms, and unfortunately, they are filled with our friends to slightly north of us.
All right, man. How did all the Rangers fans get in here? How did they beat the geofence?
You gave the poll the numbers the other day. How many of them live down here? And what does Carrie stand for?
I think my stomach is going to turn inside out.
Hey, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. That's what tonight was about.
That's right.
I need to lay down.
Drive safe. Drive safe. Yeah.
Yeah, play like we did in overtime in the third period, the entire game.
It's like, why don't they make the whole plane out of a black box?
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
It's that simple, right?
It was honestly outstanding when they were playing well, and it wasn't as good when they weren't.
Did you have Rangers fans around you?
We had one Rangers fan who was very elegant, tall, handsome man. Honestly, if anybody had talked anything to him, I'd have let them. It'd have been their own fault. He was outstanding. He was great.
Good.
But no, we weren't. I mean, it's not like they had to travel far. It'd have been from what? Cary, Holly Springs, something like that.
Side Talk NYC, Family Dollar version of Barstool. And speaking of Barstool, Dave Portnoy still wants us to play the playoffs, isn't it? That's small market.
All right, so pause it right here. So this is, for some reason, we're still talking about the Boston Bruins in the situation and trying to get over on Dave Portnoy at Barstool Sports. Why do people give Dave Portnoy the time of day? That's what the guy breathes on. You want to give tippy toes the attention? I mean, this is the guy who's so short that he doesn't want people to know he's short, so he literally stands on his tippy toes in all the photos. Don't believe me? Go look him up. Anyway, continue.
That's right, they Portnoy short. Carolina Hurricanes, Joe Odias.
I gotta be tall.
Hey, this guy, it's Sports Market Radio.
Yo, Joe, put me on the mic.
Let's do it.
Put me on the mic. New York is ass. Whoa. Hey. Talk now.
Bing bong.
Bing bong, screw big game boomer.
So after game five, I said the boys were buzzing, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Six, game seven. We'll go to Boston. We'll win. Doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, of course.
I was already worried about New York and Pittsburgh, right? Coming back here, we got some Yankees coming into our building, right? Some nasty.
You know they're your neighbors, right?
Oh, they are neighbors because they probably live in Cary. So
how did they get through the geofence? I wonder.
Who knows? They crossed Border Patrol. They came over. So now they live in Raleigh, right? They thought they were going to come into PNC Arena, get a nice, easy game one dub. That's too bad, because guess what? Seabass pounded one in. And then guess what happened in overtime? Cole pounded one in. Oh, man, that's too bad. You're down 1-0 already? And, oh, okay, don't get me started. You guys missed, what, 3-4 empty netters?
Yeah.
It's like they're nervous or what?
Yeah.
Their hands are shaking around their staffs. I'm telling you right now.
You never want to be shaky on your staff.
Look, you never want your hand on your staff to be shaky, right? That's too bad, New York. You're scared. You don't want to come down to Raleigh. Canes in 4-5 max.
Can I get a bing bong?
Hey,
bing bong!
Perfect. Well, thanks, man.
I love what y'all do, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bing bong. I love the people who come through, man. They get it. They absolutely get it.
We had a great setup last night. Many thanks to Joey Doster.
Now, I did actually, you want to give Sebastian Aho credit.
Yeah.
And actually, there were some fans who wanted all the credit for what happened in the third period for Sebastian Aho scoring the goal. Their argument is that the building was dead, wasn't a great crowd, wasn't getting people into it until they got onto the big screen and they hyped the people up. Here's the conversation. It's a Storm Brew clip. Right now.
The Canes are struggling all night. They put you on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
And then Aho scores.
It's been a terrible crowd. Yeah, video board, not Jumbotron.
Sorry, sorry, sorry. Gotta get that right.
It's been a bad crowd tonight, Joe. Right?
You know, and you know what? Everybody's butts are tight right now.
There needs to, I mean, you said it, not me. They need some energy.
Yeah.
They got it. I'm not saying where it came from, but you know.
20
came through when he needed it. You know?
Well, then get back out there. Oh, like that guy's jersey that says, do things. Go do things.
Thank goodness they sell overtime beer. We will be out there, don't you
That's
worry.
Not Bud Light. Bud Light's out here talking about the Canes on social media.
Oh,
did you guys miss that?
Yeah, I missed that.
Oh, yeah. So the Bud Light said, hey, Rangers fans, we heard you're locked out. You can't go to the game because of the stupid geofencing thing. And then Bud Light's like, hey, we got you, Canes fans. How's it? Yeah. So we've got a deal for you at PNC. And we'll take care of the beer, which is funny because Bud Light is a sponsor of the Canes. So the Canes were like, don't worry, we give out free water at the fountains. So, yeah, I do think Storm Brew sales went up tonight. Yeah,
so we continued the conversation. We continued the conversation and explained all the things that are going on. Now, after I had that conversation with those gentlemen, I actually went to go get an overtime beer. As I was waiting, and it was quick, she's like, you got a second. I'm like, all right, give me these two beers. As she's pouring the beers, I hear a ruckus behind me and a cowbell. I was like, what the heck's going on? And I turn around, it's a woman being arrested or having already been escorted out. And now she's fighting Raleigh police as she doesn't want to leave the building. And she's screaming profanities and things like that. And I did not realize while all this was unfolding that the New York Rangers Twitter account had actually
highlighted her earlier in the day
with this cowbell. I don't know how she snuck the cowbell in. So that's a classic case of how it started and how it's going. You start the game getting featured by the New York Rangers social media account, and next thing you know,
she's pretty close to the ice. She's near section 113.
And next thing you know, she's getting escorted out the building by Raleigh PD.
She wasn't just escorted; she was in cuffs by the time she got past the OGA entrance.
The kicker here is that she was wearing an NYPD hat. Wearing an NYPD hat, she proceeds to shove a Raleigh police officer. It was on video. I witnessed it. Oh, that's ironic. Maybe she had too many Bud Lights. I mean, Bud Light said they were taking care of it, which is obviously why we got the Storm Brew on set here. We're going to be giving away some Storm Brew
Friday.
Tomorrow. Where Bud Light was giving Rangers fans a free beer who wanted to go to PNC Arena, we're going to tell Canes fans, nah, don't worry about the macro. Drink the local stuff. So come out to our tent tomorrow. Say what up. We'll give you a beer. Sound like a plan?
Love it.
We try to keep it positive here on the OG, but sometimes other factors come into play, and then we just have to make points. It happened last time in the last series with the Boston Bruins, and we just had to make some points about the Boston Bruins radio market, and they took the bait. And now with the Rangers, New York fans are trying to make points. It's kind of weird. Rangers fans, I thought, were born in the fires of Madison Square Garden. You know? That they were strengthened by the darkness of Mike and the Mad Dog and calling in and everything else. And yet, some Canes fan tells them to go back to Apex, and then suddenly they're like, that's very mean of you. I'm going to call and complain to PNC Arena. I was treated poorly here. Y'all, I've been to Madison Square Garden. I know how the place. We always hear about how New York fans, if you it ain't for the weak, and suddenly you get to PNC Arena and you don't know how to handle it. It doesn't make any sense to me. But the real way to trigger a New Yorker is to say that the pizza there is overrated. So, Jillio, I thought it would be interesting if we can actually talk to a real New Yorker who makes pizza here. See if this is true.
Sounds good.
Anthony Guerra, Oakwood Pizza Box in downtown Raleigh. Anthony, what's up, man?
Thank you for having me, guys.
Did I trigger you with the Mike and the Mad Dog reference? Because I know you're a big fan.
I'm ready to go. I had my Diet Coke lined up. I was I grew up on this.
All right. All right. Okay, so you make pizza for a living. I've been told that there's no possible way that you can make New York pizza outside of New York. So why are you even trying?
You know, unfortunately, we do have water here in North Carolina.
But I was Thank told, God. I was told that the New York water is different.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that might be a myth. It's been proven time and time again by every great pizza place outside of New York, as most are.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Are you telling me, the New Yorker is telling me that most pizza places outside of New York are better?
I am here to say that there's probably five places in New York City and the surrounding area that are fantastic, legendary pizza joints. Outside of those five, there's a lot of mediocre or below pizza places. And I'll argue that most people who argue that their pizza place, they grew up in New York, and being from New York, they knew pizza, of course, was awful and is awful.
Isn't the tell, though, when they call it New York pizza?
Oh, God, yes.
Isn't that the tell?
Oh, God. Or I know pizza. I'm from New York. What part of New York are you from? I'm from somewhere upstate. Yeah. They'll throw Rochester out there. I'll hear this. Stop it. Just stop the madness. Stop the madness.
Anthony Guerre joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giulio. Anthony, it's interesting, though. Give people a little bit of an idea about your dough-making process, because you're like a mad scientist with it, man.
Yeah, so...
You're late to the pizza game, too.
I am late to the pizza game. After school, I decided that I did not want to go do anything else or become a real grown-up.
You didn't want to go back to New York like a lot of other New Yorkers?
But we have to tell everyone that you went to Carolina, because everyone thinks we hate everyone who went to Carolina, so it's important that we note.
Let's be fair. I went to Chapel Hill. I'm an out-of-state Chapel Hill, so I was going back to New York and testing the pizza market in New York and comparing it to here. Listen, the dough that we do is going to be 30 hours of ferment, all ambient. So no refrigeration. There's no tricks to it. This is the way it would have been done 100 years ago. Really not big on technology. Really, really big on old school ways of making it. And I promise you that the average pizza place does not do that. I promise you the average place is just piling in yeast. They're piling it in, thrown in a fridge. It's unfermented flour with mediocre cheese, terrible canned tomato sauce, pour it on top, cook it lightly, charge a dollar, and ship it out the door.
You tinker, though. What I'm getting at is you don't have, like, Grandma Guerra's recipe, from Brooklyn. You constantly kind of change it, too.
I've been described as persistently dissatisfied. It leads my wife to deal with me forever being unhappy with whatever I did yesterday. It's really an affliction. But I think it's what makes Pizza Box work. And it's what makes anything great, right? Look at Brindamore. I mean, Rod the Bod nailed his adjustments. Whereas if you compared it to other coaches that don't make the adjustments, they look flat. He makes the adjustments, they win the game. We do that at Pizza Box.
Sticks to the game plan, too. his talking points. You know what I mean? First day of training camp, last day of the Stanley Cup, he's always going to be on the same message.
Dude's great.
Now, back to pizza. I have a feeling that some of the affinity for New York pizza and the memories associated with New York pizza, and I'm going to call it New York pizza, is because you're...
Well, you could call it New York pizza.
I can't.
What I'm saying to you
is
the tell is, if you're in the middle of Manhattan, you're like, we have New York pizza. What else would it be?
What else would it be? Right. Yeah, North Carolina barbecue. Well, what else would it be other than North Carolina barbecue if you're selling it here? Some of it has to do with the griminess of where you're going, and there's a certain aesthetic to that. Sometimes it might be because you're having that pizza at 2 o'clock in the morning after you've been out. Oh. And the memory is, man, that pizza hit so good. There could be like a psychosomatic thing that happens with why people have an association with New York pizza being the best pizza.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. And there's a myth. Like, once the myth exists,
yeah,
like Julia's myth on Chapel Hill, always being lucky and everything always positive happens.
I never said lucky.
Fortunate.
If something good can happen, it will.
When bad things happen, he never points them out. But that's fine. That's fine. No. New York pizza, everyone always looks at that great memory that they might have had. Mm. Oh, this pizza was so good. It probably wasn't. There's a very famous chain that begins with an S and ends in a borrow. Yeah, that's not.
That's a fine New York slice, I've been told.
That's not legit.
But there is a legit place in New York, Joe's.
Oh, Joe's is great.
Okay.
Joe's is great.
I've had Joe's. But the aesthetic of Joe's is it's in the middle of the village. It's cash only. You get a big old fat slice. It's not necessarily the pizza's great. It's the vibe.
Oh, I'll argue the pizza's great. The old man, I was there. Here's a story for you. I was there 1 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. The old man that owns the joint was the guy slinging the pies. It was 1 a.m. You know, I watched him, and I've been making pizza for 10 years. I watched this guy make pizza, and I said, you got to be kidding me. It was like,
you thought this is what I wanted.
Stunned. I said, no. I said, what am I doing with my life? Why can't I do it like him? It's not even close.
You're like me coaching a rec league game and then going to see Roy Williams and be like, what am I trying to do the same?
Yeah, 100%. Joe's is amazing. That is the quintessential New York slice.
Okay.
If you've not,
I'm not knocking it.
I'm saying
I enjoy Joe's. I'm just saying, let's not get crazy with it. I think
Joe's
it's the vibe.
Joe's is great. Joe's
Spider-Man was there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody goes there.
I know.
The wall is like littered. It was funny because I realized he owned the joint because he was in all the pictures with all the celebrities. And yes. I said,
wait a minute.
Who's this old guy making pizza? And I'm like, he looks like, he's all over the wall. Oh, I understand now.
Why isn't our picture on the wall at Oakwood Pizza Box?
Yeah, Jillio, your picture should be there for sure.
Well, what are we doing?
All right, before we say,
do I need to sign a dollar for you? Like,
I was going to have a wall of fame, but Spike Lee and his film pushed me in a different direction.
All right, you got your Yankees hat on. You always have a Yankees hat on, but where's your Rangers stuff, dude?
My Messier sweater is in the laundry, maybe. No, the Rangers haven't been good in so long. The 94-95 team?
Yeah.
I
kind of checked out on that?
I was 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's not going to fit anymore.
But you were alive for it.
I was.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. Anthony, Oakwood Pizza Box. Appreciate it, man. A little pizza education here.
Thank you, guys.
I'm glad that you spoke your truth, that there's only really like 5 places in New York that are actually good pizza.
Outstanding pizza. Everything else is average.
It's just fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's funny. There's been all sorts of discussion this week about Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, the surrounding areas, transplants, people yelling at, you know, New York Rangers fans, go back to Cary. Which, how does that make Apex feel? How does that make Morrisville feel? Or Fuquay?
Hey, man, Garner.
Garner. Hey, there's New Yorkers everywhere, including Anthony Guerra, Oakwood Pizza Box, in downtown Raleigh. Although he went to Chapel Hill, he went to UNC. To Jillio's point, there are UNC people we get with.
Yeah.
We talk to.
They don't all hate us.
Right. Anthony likes us.
We're not all bad.
I mean, the list right now is you and Roy Williams, but you know.
That's, shout out to your guy, Clint.
And Clint Qualdy.
That's what I was going to say. Shout out to your guy, Clint. But, okay. I want to make something abundantly clear here. Because every time, like, what's the first rule of being from New York, Anthony?
That everybody needs to know that you're from New York.
Anthony knows.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The second rule of being from New York is whining about how you can't find good pizza where you are. But that's crap, right?
I feel like, yeah, absolutely, it's crap.
New York pizza is overrated.
I would say that it is overrated. In general, yes, 100%.
How many good places are there in New York? Like legit outstanding pizza in New York?
Let's call it 5. You can expand it to 10.
Okay. Is Joe's Pizza in that mix?
Yes. For his style, he's classic.
Plus the vibe.
Yeah.
Because I do think that a lot of what goes into why people love New York pizzas, there's a vibe to it. It's cash only. You're walking up, you're getting a slice, yelling at a guy. The guy's like, what do you want? Like, all that kind of stuff. At some point, somebody's going to yell at you, hey, I'm walking here.
You better know your order, too.
Yes. You absolutely need to know your order, or they're going to shush you out of there.
And straight up, don't ask for ranch. Godspeed if you ask for ranch.
All right. So then what is most New York pizza, then? What are you getting as a tourist?
What are you getting? Unfermented dough with crappy cheese that has filler in it that's been cooked maybe correctly, maybe not.
Yeah.
Listen, you get what you pay for, unfortunately. Those dollar slices aren't legit.
What about Italian food?
Oh, goodness. I think Nona is not in the kitchen anymore. Nona's not back there.
Not hand rolling the ravioli anymore?
No, listen, my Nona used to make ravioli.
Yeah.
And she was like 90 years old, and she'd make ravioli. It would take her 3 days to make enough ravioli to eat, like 5 people eat in one night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happened. It's not happening.
So
they're coming in frozen.
Are you telling me the Sunday gravy is not really? Like,
I'm telling you, the lobster ravioli does not start with a lobster that was walking around biting people in the kitchen and then turned into a ravioli. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you should be skeptical. Open your eyes.
Kind of makes you from New York, though, doesn't it?
Yes. Gosh, yeah. I mean,
the true badge of New York currency.
You need to be skeptical. I have my doubts. Billy Joel
told me, even scenes of Italian restaurant at their little spot. You telling me Nona wasn't in that spot?
I'm telling you, Nona probably was not in that spot.
Mama Leone was not making the ravioli.
There was a point that Mama Leone might have been there. What year did that song come out?
Oh, that was 1970. It was in the mid-70s.
I'm calling Nona there. Nona left in 85. Nona was gone. She retired.
She didn't even wait for the Mets to win the title.
No. She said, I give up.
Last night, Carolina Hurricanes get the thriller in OT against the New York Rangers. For two periods, the Carolina Hurricanes did not look like they were in it. They looked slow compared to the New York Rangers. We knew that the level of skating in this matchup was going to be different. We knew that the Rangers were going to be more on the level of the Carolina Hurricanes. Goaltending was also going to be a step up with Igor Shesterkin. But here's the thing. How good is Igor Shesterkin if you don't challenge him? And that was really a problem early on. Now, some of that was related to what the Rangers were doing. The Rangers did an excellent job keeping the Canes from out of the crease. They never really got good opportunities. And for a team that creates a lot of high danger chances, it was pretty startling to see the Rangers do a really good job of keeping them from getting that, just really paltry opportunities for two periods. That changed in the third period, though. And maybe it changed starting at the end of the second period. But when they came out, I mean, who knows what Rod Brindamore said in the intermission. But they came out and they finally got around to playing their game, which is going to tell me a heck of a lot more than the first two periods, that they found a way to get that done, survive, and win the game.
The way Antti Raanta played, though, in the first period, you know, we had talked so much about Igor Shesterkin in the regular season that he had, being the top goalie in the NHL. Led the league in goals against average, led the league in save percentage. And shame on me, I guess, because it didn't even occur to me that Raanta could outplay him in the first period the way that he did. Now, part of that's a function of the way that the Rangers played defense in front of Shesterkin. They cut off the middle of the ice. They did not give the Canes the room that the Canes wanted.
Yeah.
That's a credit, as Rod Brindamore said, to the Rangers and the way that they played those first two periods. Rod made a tweak with the lines at the end of the second period, puts the Fins back together. You know, it's not just snap your fingers and sprinkle the dust and do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something to be said when you want to see Sebastian Aho get going. Fastest way to do that is to put him together, back together with Teuvo Teravainen.
Yeah.
Rod saw that, understood the situation. What's the downside of making the move? There isn't one.
You get to overtime, and it's Ian Cole who gets the game winner. This is another example of the Canes and their depth and the surprise player coming through to get it done. In Game 7, it was Max Domi with two goals. One of them was an insane goal off a skate over the top of Swayman, who swatted at it and went in. I still don't know how that happened. The other one was nifty stick work and got it in the net. Cole ripped one and gets the game winner, and he gets mobbed by the team. Cole, though, after the game, talking about how it's not really just about this one game. They know they've got another game on Friday. They got to go on the road. Wash, rinse, repeat. This thing ain't over.
You know, it's not necessarily about this game, but it's about building towards, building towards that journey, you know, going forward. I mean, we're not here to win one game in the second round and be like, well, that's it, mission accomplished. No, we're here to win a Stanley Cup. So this is a great step forward, and I think it showed our resiliency as a team and our ability to kind of check ourselves and be able to fix our game during the game, not have to wait, you know, till after the game and watch video and make that adjustment for game two. We can do it on the fly, which is a sign of a great team, a very well-coached team, certainly. So, that's good, and I think that, that's great step forward for us.
That's Ian Cole. We got the game winner last night for the Carolina Hurricanes. Game two tomorrow, 8 o'clock. PNC Arena will be out there. Come say hey.
Say that again, though. 8 o'clock start time.
Yes, 8 o'clock start time.
Yep.
8 o'clock start time. We'll be out there, our usual time from 3 to 6. Come by, say hey, and we'll give you a storm brew.
If you're 21.
Of course. Got to be 21. We will definitely need to see ID. All right. McLovin, We're going to need to see some ID. Just saying. But, just kind of amused by Bud Light trying to get in on the social media dunk game. I don't know.
Why would they do that, though?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Because it's not like they don't sell Bud Light in the building. There's Bud Light on the freaking boards. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, hey, maybe Bud Light's just trying to do R&D Storm Brew a favor. I don't know. I can get two Storm Brews for less. That's
now,
all I know.
Don't get me wrong. There were Ranger fans in the building.
Yes.
The place holds 18.
Plus.
Would you say 5,000 Ranger fans?
I mean, it was about the same amount as the Boston fans.
I thought there were more Ranger fans than Boston.
Yeah, maybe.
5,000?
Sure.
It kind of dispersed through the arena.
How many of them do you think made the trip down from New York?
None.
Exactly.
None. But what I'm getting at is if you're fishing in a pond with 18,000 people and you think, whoa, do I want to appeal to the 5,000 people? or do I want to appeal to the 13,000
people? No, what they're trying to do is appeal to the whatever millions of New Yorkers exist in the city of New York.
So let me just try to get this straight. There's probably a Rangers fan back in Manhattan.
Yes.
Watching the game on ESPN going, you know, I was going to have a Peroni tonight with an authentic New York slice, but instead, I saw on Twitter that Bud Light was trying to pick up us poor Ranger fans.
That's it.
Who were discriminated against in North Carolina. That's what happened. You're telling me that's what happened.
You just said it. Basically, Bud Light's treating Rangers fans like they're the Cleveland Browns. Hey, we're going to lock up this Bud Light.
Yes.
And if you win a game, you get free Bud Light. Like, no, that's not how this works. Bates Battaglia, former Carolina Hurricane, part of that 0-2 cup run, joins us on the...
We don't want to put Bates in a spot
here.
No.
Actually, I'm going to put Bates in a spot.
All right.
Bates, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
All right, so I love asking you these types of questions because as somebody who never had my hand on the ice, when... What goes into a flat start for a team, whether it's a regular season game or even, you know, to me, I think, yeah, man, game one, Rangers, you want to set the tone. And for two periods, the Canes really had a hard time doing that. Rangers get credit, but some of that was the Canes' own doing. What kind of goes into a flat start?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I was put to sleep the first two periods. To tell you the truth, I didn't see a whole lot of the second period. I had a couple of cocktails up at the up at the bar in the arena, so I missed some of the second, but they were pretty flat. But you know what, I kind of noticed that with the Pens Rangers series, that the Rangers kind of lull you to sleep a little bit,
okay,
and then they, you know, you're kind of wearing them down in their end a little bit, and they just kind of weather the storm, and then boom, they get a 2-on-1 and they bury, and then you're down. And that's pretty much what happened last night. I said last game with the Pens and Rangers, that happened, and it happened last night. And it's kind of a tough game to play when they do that. So it's something you got to get up for. You got to talk about it and like be, you know, we got to get going. And I feel like that might have been what happened in between the second and third. I think Roddy was probably like, boys, we got to get her going because they were a different team in the third period.
Bates Battaglia joining us thanks to John Heaster, Chevy. And the one person who did show up early was Antti Raanta. Bates, what did you think of that first period and what probably should have been the score after the first 20
minutes? He was awesome, as usual. We need that guy to stay healthy for sure. I mean, he's been unreal. They gave Ian Cole the first star, which, you know,
I
see it. But, I mean, Raanta was top-notch. He was a contender for that as well.
Rod Brindamore joining us here on the OG. No, not Rod Brindamore. Bates Battaglia is joining us.
I'll take it. Don't worry.
Now, you know the reason why I said Rod Brindamore is because where I was going with my question. If you've played the way that you've played for those two periods, you go into that second intermission, how much of it is a coach saying something, or does a coach even have to say anything at this point in the season, knowing the way you've played all year?
Not really. I mean, the boys know he's going to reiterate it, but, it's crunch time, you know, from here on out, every single game. I mean, it's the most important game of the season, every game. So the boys know they had to get it done and they did it. So, I mean, you got to give them credit. Like, that was tough. I mean, what was it, three, four minutes left in the game, and they got it done, and that's a classic case of, you know, throw everything at the net in overtime. I mean, you never know. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, got a big win there.
Bates Pataglia joining us here on the OG. And Rod Brindamore didn't want any part of getting any credit for the switch putting the Fins back together, Bates. But there's a comfort level there with Seabass and Turbo, right? And look, it's not genius. It's not rocket science or rocket surgery. But still, the way that Aho finished the Boston series, the way that maybe he starts this game, you're Rod, you're looking at your best guy going, you know what, I need a little boost. So I put him back together with the Fin. What did you think of that move?
Well, you definitely see that, you know, throughout the, you know, season and playoffs, more so probably. But, you know, it kind of gives you a little spark sometimes. And you know, when I was playing, when we went to the Cup, I mean, we, for the most part, our lines all stayed the same. But every once in a while, you know, Mo would change them up a little bit. And you know, it works wonders sometimes.
Bates Pataglia, former Carolina Hurricane. He joins us throughout the playoffs here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. All right, man. Maybe I'll see you Friday, and I can join you for a cocktail during the second period.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's that, or on the away games, you could come out to Teats or Lucky Bees. You know, we haven't mentioned that in a while.
That's true. We haven't been.
Gotta hit the bars.
All right. We'll tell you what. We'll
it's the place. We're bringing food out there. Everything. You got no reason to go anywhere else.
No, that's a good point. Always love Lucky Bees. I'll have to drop on by. That's a very good suggestion. All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
I'm hitting the home game, so for sure.
Bates, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Thanks.